to the book of Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, and I must back up from where we have been for one verse before we go through the rest of this chapter, and that is in verse 10. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. We skipped over it and made mention that we were going to come back, and we want to spend our time tonight on this verse 10, where it says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him." Let me back up here just a bit. Let's go to verse 7. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." And I'd like to spend our time on that tonight. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. But I do want to say this with regard to what John did. I see John doing what we might do, and we would stand corrected. We're not to worship men, and we're not to worship angels, but in the state that John is in and what he's got to see and to see this being, and I don't believe he thought it was Christ, but he did bow at the feet. Now, I find Cornelius bowed at the feet of Peter, and you know, this, I'm not going to find fault with John. He was corrected, if that is a correction. And this one shares some very wonderful information. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. One person said Jesus is the mark that the old prophecies shot at. All the old prophecies shot at. I would say it a little clearer, shot at and hit. Jesus is the mark that all prophecies hit in the Old Testament. And another person said the possession of the prophetic spirit shows itself in the witness of Jesus. So if the prophets of old witnessed of Jesus, they were true prophets. And the same can be said today. Now, it's a different situation today. Dwayne and I visited about this a little bit today. And in the Old Testament, we have prophets that stood up against Israel and spoke out against what they were doing. And they spoke out to Judah and spoke out a bit about what they were doing and spoke against those who were going to come up against them. And they stood powerfully against what was going on in the land. I fail to see that is the ministry of anybody today, because those men were prophesying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their prophecy was the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they were foretelling the coming of the Just One, and our ministry today is forthtelling. We're saying he's already been here, and there's righteousness in him, and there's justification in him. So that's our ministry, and I have yet to find in the Scriptures, in the New Testament in particular, that there was anyone that stood up against a nation and spoke out against it. They preached Christ and him crucified. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel, is what the Apostle Paul said. So that's our ministry, and now it's more of a local-based ministry where we are and what God has us doing. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and I have to go to one of those passages that we've read many times, and that's in the book of Luke. Chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he appeared, keeping himself hidden for a season from these two that were on the road to Emmaus. He did nothing in vain, and he never wasted his time. What he did is to show to us the absolute necessity. If we're going to understand the Bible, it must be revelation. They saw and heard and knew about the crucifixion of Jesus, and yet without the revelation by the Holy Spirit, they did not realize the capacity and power of this death of the Lord Jesus. And he revealed that to them. And he shares with us here in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke. He speaks to two on the road to Emmaus and shares with us a great deal to them, and then to his disciples. As we think about the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Every prophetic statement in the Old Testament, every prophecy seems to have something to do with the Redeemer and his redemption. Old Testament prophecies seem to have something to do with the Redeemer and his redemption and his redeemed ones. When Moses spoke, when Isaiah spoke, when Jeremiah spoke, when Joshua spoke, and they spoke prophetic statements, it had to do, something to do with Christ and his redeeming work, his redemptive work, those he redeemed, and the Redeemer. So whether it be foretelling his birth, where he'd be born, what time he would be born, all the prophecies of Isaiah with regard to him, we find that they're speaking about this one who is the Redeemer, and speaking about his redemptive work, and speaking about the redeemed ones as we go through those Old Testament books. I found something in a writing by John Brown, and in it he said that many, and I've been there, wish that our Lord's commentary on this ancient prophetic oracles respecting himself had been committed to writing. I said one time, I wish he had left this message about speaking all the things in the Old Testament concerning himself. And one night I woke up, was concerned about it, and it came to me, we do have it, the Old Testament. And John Brown goes on to say that we are furnished with a powerful additional motive to study the Old Testament prophecies. If we had it laid out for us, we'd probably be lazy and not go over there. Since we don't have it for us, we get to go back there and study about the prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he said it was all fulfilled in him. So we have that. Now, this is what he said in Luke 24 and verse 26. It says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? He's sharing with them that it was necessary that Christ suffer these things and then enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The Jesus is the mark that all prophecies head toward. And if we look at the statements with regard to Hagar and Sarah in the New Testament, Paul picked up on them by the Holy Spirit and said, this is an allegory. This prophecy about Sarah and Hagar in the Old Testament is an allegory that he picked up on and said, this is the law and this is grace. And you can't have both. One is a bondman and one is free. One is not the seed and the other is. One is after the flesh and the other is after the spirit. So even the lives of these people were a declaration of the grace of God and his redemptive work. And we find that consistently, and it is our joy to go and have those things revealed unto us. So beginning at Moses and the prophets, and then in verse 44, again keeping in mind, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. These Old Testament passages from beginning to end, and I have to remember, this is all they had. They did not have Matthew to Revelation. They only had Genesis to Malachi. And all of these passages, he says here, these things were concerning me. They are the prophets writing prophecy about the great prophet and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's to our joy to go discover them. As we go through the Psalms, they spoke of Jesus. As we go through the prophets, they spoke of Jesus. As we go through the minor prophets, they spoke of Jesus. As we go through the major prophets, they spoke of Jesus. Sometimes it is straightforward. A child will be born. A virgin shall conceive. And it doesn't take a lot for us to understand, even in the flesh, to understand that this is what the Old Testament is about in that place. But then we go on and we find the Holy Spirit reveals other places where he is revealed. Those lepers, when they went to that place and all of those, the food was there, the clothing was there, the gold is there, that's exactly what Christ requires of us, and that's what he provides for a leper such as us. So the Old Testament is just filled with prophecy concerning the Lord. He is the spirit of prophecy. It is no wonder the book of Revelation starts, "This is the revelation of Jesus Christ." And that verse of Scripture could just as easily have been put at Genesis. If we look at Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's just, that's the Old Testament way of saying Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. He is God, and God is revealed throughout the Old Testament. And that's the gospel that he brought. People were saved. They're not told about salvation. They were saved by the same gospel that we are. They're not told that people in the future are going to be saved by the gospel. They were saved by the same gospel that we are. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10. The apostles and disciples, it was revealed to them, particularly after the resurrection. It was revealed to them that all the Old Testament, Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The possession of the prophetic spirit shows itself in the witness of Jesus. Malachi, you better have Jesus as the theme and subject of your prophecy, or you're not a prophet of the Lord. Isaiah, you better have Jesus as the theme of your prophecy, or you're not a prophet of the Lord. And today, preacher, you better have Jesus Christ as the theme of your prophecy foretelling, or you're not a preacher of the Lord. That's just the way it is. And here in the book of Acts chapter 10, it shares with us here with regard to all the prophets. Acts chapter 10, verse 39. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. He is in Revelation. He is in Exodus. He is in Peter. He is in Jeremiah. He is the message of the book. He is the sum and substance of all prophecy in the Old Testament from beginning to end. And very little of the Old Testament doesn't have something either directly or indirectly to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get and see how far people had fallen away from the worship of God, what is the only hope? The true temple, the Lord Jesus. When sin reigns, grace reigns greater. Jesus Christ. All right. Acts chapter 10, verse 39, it says here, "And we are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness." My goodness, what a statement. Now, I am convinced that those prophets, when they prophesied, when they preached, there was a whole bunch of stuff they had to say to Israel and Judah we don't have recorded. They preached the gospel to those guys. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He is the only hope for you. Verse 43, "To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." That's what the Old Testament prophets preached. "Through whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Now, when that high priest carried that blood into the Holy of Holies, he didn't obtained one forgiveness for one sin with that blood. He's only picturing it. But Jesus Christ was preached in the Old Testament so people could and were saved. And it's the only way they were. The same exact way God saves His people in this era, in this time. All right, let's go back to the book of Acts again in chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. He is the spirit of prophecy. All the prophets spoke of Christ. That's what the prophets of the New Testament declared by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed to these preachers that the Old Testament has a purpose, and this ultimate purpose, it's not history, but you can get history from it. It's not law, but you can get law from it. It's not cleanliness, but you can get cleanliness from it. I was talking to Marvin Stoniker today on the telephone, and some people look at the book of Proverbs and they guide their life by it, and you know what? If that's God, all God ever gives somebody, I'm going to live by someone who's a good neighbor. If that's all they ever get out of it, they're going to be a good neighbor. Now, the message of the Proverbs is the great one, the Lord. He is the wisdom of His people. And all of those Proverbs speak of Christ. Now, if we look at it from a fleshly standpoint, we're going to get a good neighbor next door. And if that's all we have, we're going to be a good neighbor. It's going to guide our life, and we'll be a good neighbor. That's what we'll get out of it. But if we have Christ, we're going to see Him as the wisdom of God for His people. Acts chapter 3. Let's look there. Acts chapter 3 and verse 22. Acts chapter 3 and verse 22. It says, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet, that prophet, shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." Well, I'm thankful that once in a while the Lord shares with us in the New Testament what the Old Testament is about, because sometimes I wouldn't see it. But the Holy Spirit reveals the prophecy of Samuel there, and from there on, and go back, Moses spoke of me, shares with us the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like He does today through the preaching of His word. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Jesus is the mark that all prophecies were going towards. Every prophet and every prophecy is about the Lord Jesus Christ. We may not see it, but when He opens our eyes, that's what it will be. We can say, "I don't know what it says, but I know what it doesn't say." It's not just going to be historical data. It is going to be a message that will encourage the church, tell us about the Redeemer, share with us the work of redemption, and tell His people that they are redeemed from their sins. That's what these prophets are going to do. In turn with me, if you would, back to the book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. We have in this, the beginning, in the beginning was the Word, verse 1. But in John chapter 1, verse 43, we have these words said with regard to the Lord and to His what He reveals to His people. John chapter 1, verse 43, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip." The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, "We have found Him. We have found Him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. We have found Him." Jesus revealed Himself in such a capacity that this man knew that Moses and the prophets were speaking of Him. "We have found Him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write." And this is who He is. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now that's pretty plain. They have identified Jesus of Nazareth. Now he's the stepson of Joseph. Joseph named him. Joseph reared him. Joseph went through all of that as a father to him, as a dad to him. But he didn't have part in his birth, in his conception. But this is Jesus of Nazareth. And Moses and the prophets wrote of this one individual. What a revelation that this man had of God, of the Lord Jesus. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. The law and the prophets wrote about this one man. Now, I wrote about a whole family of man that fell, but this one man would be the redeemer of his people. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, as we think about the testimony of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. He's the one that the prophets wrote of. He is the one that all prophecy is about. When we look at him, we're not looking at some speculation in the Old Testament. We're looking at a person. We have found him whom Moses and the prophets wrote about. There's no clearer statement than what the prophecies of the Old Testament are about, and that he is the spirit of prophecy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye have seen him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of what salvation? Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. The prophets prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Old Testament prophets were prophesying about a time when Jesus the Messiah would come and the fulfillment of these prophecies and prophets would be fulfilled. Verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. The Spirit of Christ that was in them. They're not dummies about this. The Spirit of Christ is in them. The Holy Spirit is in them and revealed these things unto them, signifying when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. That's what these prophets were writing about. He is the spirit of prophecy. The book of Acts is filled with it. The book of Luke is filled with it. The books of the New Testament are filled with it. Let's just go over to the book of Galatians here for a moment. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 shares with us that this was shared with Abraham. Abraham was given the gospel, and it is declared here that it's the gospel. Now, that all, through him all nations should be blessed. We have a short outline of what was shared with Abraham, because he was shared the gospel. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Same gospel. And how is all of the families of the earth, all the nations going to be blessed? By Abraham's seed, by the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached the gospel before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. The same gospel is preached today, and the same blessing is given today. And the same hope is given today. And the same grace is given today. The same that the prophets preached throughout the Old Testament. The Jesus is the mark that all prophecies pointed to. Every one of them. When he prophesied about Assyria coming in, we're going to find out that God purposed Assyria to come in. He prophesied about the Lord in that. God is in control. God is judge. God is righteous. God is holy. In everything that he did, every prophecy has something to do pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read here, Galatians, the gospel was preached, and every nation in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, Abraham, boy, follow his life. He's a liar. He's a polygamist. But the gospel that was preached to him is going to be a blessing to every family of the world. There is one truth about that song, red and yellow, black and white. Every nation under the sun, every family of man, every separation of every tribe, every kindred, nation, people, and tongue, God will bless with the gospel every nation under the earth, under the sun. And it was promised to Abraham. The gospel was preached unto him. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, as we think about this wonderful statement that's made in the book of Revelation. It could be made at the beginning of every book. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's not trying to come to some great conclusion of when the temple is going to be built. It's not trying to figure out when Jesus is coming back. Not trying to figure out the day or the hour when he's coming back. Not trying to figure out signs when he's coming back. In fact, he said that seeking signs is not a good and wholesome thing. Adulterous generation seek after a sign, and that's spiritual adultery. You got your mind off of the right thing. Don't look for signs. There's only one sign that's given, and that is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Jonah prophesied of me. Jonah prophesied of Christ. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the great fish's belly, the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's the prophecy. He spoke of the resurrection. He spoke of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, here in Romans chapter 1, Paul, a servant, verse 1, of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Separated into the gospel of God. Jesus Christ called, he's a servant of Jesus Christ. He's called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God, this gospel which he, God, had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Prophets of old prophesied about in the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the spirit of prophecy. We're not looking for speculation. We're looking for the Son. We're not looking for interpretation. We're looking for the Son. We're looking for the gospel in the Old Testament. We're looking for the fulfillment of all prophecy in this one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can take away our Assyrian problem. He's the only one that can take care of our Babylonian problem. He's the only one that can take care of our Israelite problem. He's the only one that can take care of our Judah problem. It's Jesus Christ, and we fall in every category. They separated themselves, whether they were Jews or Gentiles, Assyrian, Babylonian, from Judah or from Israel. They are, Paul said, all under sin. And there's only one hope for them. And that's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, preached to Abraham, preached through all the Old Testament prophets, come down to this point, and Paul said here, I'm an apostle, I'm separated to the gospel of God. This is a gospel that was prophesied by the prophets concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the prophecy. That's the fulfillment in Christ Jesus, and that's who was preached. Now, in the Old Testament, if they were used the word Christ, we would find the word Messiah. Same word, anointed one. If the prophet used the word Messiah, they're talking about the one we know as the Christ, and they're talking about the one that is the Messiah to them. Same word. One's Old Testament, one's New Testament. And they spoke of the Messiah a great deal. They spoke of Jehovah. 6,500 times in the Old Testament, the prophets used the word Jehovah and other terms for God. And they preached and prophesied, and some of them were stalwarts against this nation of Israel. Today, we are preachers preaching to a lost, hell-bound world about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as they did. And it is in local assemblies, and we encourage God's people who have been saved by the same gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, again to the book of Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. In the Old Testament, we find so often they were foretelling. Son shall be given, a child shall be born. He's coming. He's coming. They're foretelling. They're telling events ahead of time. Now, we don't tell events ahead of time. We're foretelling. We're telling what's already happened. We're reporters. We're reporting the story, the account of what has already happened, with the promise that he shall come again. His own words, he shall come again. Now notice here, Romans 3, verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law prophesied that people would be saved without the law. And now the righteousness of God without the law is made known, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy witnessed that people would be saved without the law. From then on, through all the prophets witnessed that people would be saved without the law. They'd be saved by grace. That's the message of the law. You can't be saved by it. You can't be delivered by it. It'll only drag you down. It'll only condemn you. It'll only slay you. It'll only kill you. Law will not. Grace will lift us up. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, old or new. Sometimes I think I have the wrong words for it. I only use old because that's what it says at the beginning of my Bible, Old Testament. Then we go to the New Testament. But it's not an old message and a new message. It's the same message. And Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. The possession of the prophetic spirit shows itself in the witness of Jesus. Hit the mark. Tell me of Jesus. That's the only way we'll be able to tell whether someone knows the gospel or not. Tell me about Christ. Not a weak Christ, but an all-knowing, saving Christ. He is the spirit of prophecy. Prophets, Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, Abraham, all declared that Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And as we read there in the book of Luke, the Lord Jesus himself said, "This is about me." And he declared all the things in the Old Testament scriptures concerning himself, from Genesis to Malachi. And as I said one time, and I've said several times, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have that? But the Lord did us a favor. Let's search it out. That's why I've spent a lot of time in my ministry in the Old Testament, because it is the ministry of Christ. It's the preaching of Christ. And that's all Peter, James, and John had, and the Lord Jesus, and Paul, and Moses, and Samuel, and David. They didn't even have all of that. It was being put together as they went. So the message is the message of the Lord Jesus. We are thus furnished with a powerful additional motive to study the Old Testament prophecies. The New Testament, it reveals so much. The book of Hebrews. Oh, how it clears up so much about Leviticus and the law. Jesus is better than. angels, the law, the tabernacle. He's so much better than all that. He's so much better. The gospel is so much better than the blood of bulls and goats. And so here in the book of Revelation, as we come close to the end of it, we learn again, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Every Old Testament prophecy seems to have to do with the Redeemer, with redemption, or the redeemed. And one final verse found in the book of Luke, chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. The last prophet is shared with us here, the Old Testament type of prophet. Jesus said, here's the last one. Luke 16, 16. It also says the law was until John. Luke 16, 16. The law and the prophets were until John. He's the last Old Testament prophet. And he preached, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. And the Lord fulfilled that. But the law and the prophets were unto John, and he really preached to Israel. He preached to a king, and the king had him killed. And today it just seems, as we go through history, we see that the preacher has a ministry to a flock of people. It may be, I read one place where it's estimated Charles Spurgeon's preached to 5 million people in his lifetime. 5 millions of people. Well, that's a pretty hefty group of people in England over a lifetime. So the Lord has been gracious, was gracious to England. It's hard to find faith there now as it once was. And it's understandable. When he comes, now we know he will because he said he would, but he said, would he find faith when he returns? Well, it's not because of people. It'll only be because of God. Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy.